Well, we inch closer and closer to number 11 Texas visiting number 3 Alabama at Bryant-Denny Stadium. And here to lead off the show is the voice of the Crimson Tide, Eli Gold. Appreciate you taking a moment or two out of your day to spend with us on Big Noon Sports. Eli, how are you doing? And how do you think it went last Saturday night?
I'm doing well, thank you. And things went well because Alabama won big. And our broadcast was okay, you know, other than that first touchdown during which I had a frog in my throat. I think he took up residence on a lily pad in my throat or something. But other than that, everything went well. It was a good broadcast. I was satisfied. And it's like anything. It's like the players. Once you get a few hits, it's the next event. And for me, too, once I got on the air and got to talking, it was the best medicine I could have had, Matt. It really was.
Eli, I listened to a lot of it, and I thought Tyler fit in marvelously. Of course, you're not going to beat up on your partner, of course, but just assess what Tyler Watts contributed to the broadcast last night. I mean, last Saturday.
Well, he contributed a lot. You know, number one, he's just like John Parker and like Snake, you know, and Phil, they've been there and done that. And at the quarterback spot. So there's a knowledge of the game that, you know, I can study till the cows come home. I will never know football with the intimacy that those guys do. You know, you can study and study and study. But, you know, he was really, really good. Interestingly, he was not as verbose as some of my previous color men have been. He says what he has to say, and then he hushed up. And I mentioned to him at one point, you know, feel free to expand upon that. You know, we worked on a couple of things that I don't think we talked over each other more than one time, which was very, very good, because we did have a little talking over each other during the scrimmages that we practiced on. So I was pleased with that element of the presentation. And, you know, a couple little things here and there as we went, you know, fitting in the commercials and the live reads. I mean, more technical radio stuff more than, you know, anything to do with football. So I was really pleased with the job he did, and he's only going to get better and better as he goes.
Eli, thanks so much for joining us. If I were to write a story on your comeback, I would probably lead with the scene of you walking into the stadium. What were you feeling? Was it emotional? Did you have interaction with fans? And, you know, just riding the elevator up to the press box. Just kind of take us back and describe what was going through your mind.
Well, pulling in, of course, I get there very early. You know, we were on the air 3 hours before kick. I was probably there 5 hours before kickoff, but that's just me. I'm always an early arriver. And when I got out of the car and stood there, and I had a couple of friends who rode with us, and there was a crew from ESPN's College Game Day who did a big piece on me that's going to air this weekend on Game Day. They were there. But I had a few moments just to stand and talk privately with my wife, with Claudette, just off to the side. I mean, it was, she warned me. She said, I'm going to be very emotional. And I was too. But, you know, I looked at her and you know, she said some things which were very nice. And she started tearing up. And, you know, it meant a lot, man. You don't understand unless you've been through it, and maybe you have, Lars, but unless you've been through what we had been through, you can't understand the emotions of coming back. And so, you know, that was very, very emotional. Then we walked in, and the funny thing is, the last time I did a game at Bryant-Denny, they didn't have that perimeter around the stadium. So I made my way towards the old press entrance, only to find out that I couldn't get in there anymore. So I had to back up and look, and I had a newspaper guy walking with us, Nick Kelly from the Tuscaloosa News, And I said, hey, can you look around the corner, see if there's any gates open over here? And we had gone past what was now the entrance, but I had never experienced it because, you know, like I said, when I did my last game at home, they didn't have that security perimeter. So I had to learn how to get back in down there. Then we went upstairs, and it was so early, of course. It was just us in the elevator. It was myself and Nick and the four-man crew from ESPN's College Game Day. And we got into an empty elevator and walked upstairs and rode up to the, you know, to the fifth floor and went into the press box. And then, you know, you might have seen the video. I don't know. I walked into the press box and went down to our radio booth only to encounter Tom Stipe coming out. He was heading to the men's room at that point. And we had a quick, hi, how are you? And then Tom, of course, is our engineer and producer. Then I walked into the booth and I banged on the window next to us because Chip Walters was already there, the play-by-play man from Middle Tennessee. And Chip and I have had a relationship over the years. We've known each other for forever, seemingly. And, you know, so it was very much business-like. And then I sat down and laid out all my papers and my chart and got the spotting stuff ready and, you know, that kind of deal. So it was, other than it being emotional to be back, Lars, it really was no different than any other game. I did the exact same thing I will do tomorrow, the exact same thing I do, you know, I did 10 years ago. When it works and when you're comfortable with doing something, you don't change it. But there was just a lot of emotion. And yes, I was greeted nicely throughout the course of the day by a lot of people. You know, good to have you back. Nice to see you. The fans, some of the people in the press box, you know, the hot dog people. I mean, whoever it was, people were very, very kind in welcoming me back.
And was it a different experience for you just once the game started? Did you have butterflies more than usual, or was it just like you said? Yep.
Yeah, I did. It did when it started. I actually had more butterflies doing the first of the scrimmages. As we've mentioned, we all got together and brought out closed scrimmages on a closed circuit basis. Nobody heard it, but it was, you know, we did it, and I had more butterflies going into that first scrimmage than I did going into the first game, because I knew that I could do it at that point. I used those scrimmages to work on my air, if you will. That's, you know, your presentation and how you, you know, exhale and inhale and fill your lungs up for when you need it. Matt, you've done play-by-play, so you know what I'm talking about here. So I knew I could do it, and so it was, you know, it was fine. It was good. I was disappointed in the first touchdown call because I did have that frog in my throat, and it was just probably one of the worst sounding calls of my life, because I couldn't get words out. I was coughing and choking. It had nothing to do with anything other than I had a frog in my throat. But, you know, it happens. But, yeah, everything went well. I was pleased. And the fact that Alabama won the game handily, it made it a little more difficult to keep the energy level going as the day got long. But it was good because I had a great story to tell.
How did Nick Saban react when he saw you? And perhaps you guys had met earlier in the week. I'm not really sure, but
we did. We had met. We met on Thursday doing his talk show. He was very, very cordial, and he said some very nice words again, welcoming me back to the broadcast on Saturday. But no, he was. You know, we have a wonderful relationship, but it is a business relationship. You know, the coach and I are friendly, but we don't go out to dinners together. We don't go out and, you know, what have you. We, you know, we see each other. We talk. We exchange the occasional pleasantry. But he's busy. I'm busy. We're doing our thing. It's a wonderful business relationship. But yes, he was very cordial in welcoming me back and leading the applause prior to the Nick Saban show of a week ago today, actually. And then in doing the pregame show, he again had some very nice comments welcoming me back.
Well, let's ask you the football question we've asked everybody this week. What did you think of Jalen Milroe?
I wasn't surprised. You know, that was what I saw was what we had seen during the practices and the scrimmages. You know, I'm all of us on the broadcast side, we're lucky. We're welcome to the practices. We don't have to, you know, watch for 2 minutes and leave or whatever the existent rules are. We were able to stay for the full practice. And then I saw, you know, both of those closed scrimmages start to finish. Obviously, we did those make-believe broadcasts. We saw him in those scrimmages throw the ball long and accurately. We saw him in those scrimmages run the football and make some great moves. So what I saw last weekend was not at all a surprise. It was nice to see. And also everybody else was able to see it because, you know, what I see at the practices, I don't talk about. I'm there, you know, by the grace of the coaches, and I'm not going to, you know, say something I shouldn't. But it was nice that he was able to show off his abilities, and so many people knew what he could do anyway from the work he did put in last year when he got in the ball game. But it was fine. It was great to see, and I wasn't surprised that, you know, the tight ends had a nice big part of the game. You know, Nye Black, we had talked about him, I believe, maybe even on this show a few weeks ago. A lot of the guys. So it was good, but, you know, you've got to remember, and it's the same thing I'm sure Steve Sarkisian is saying, with no disrespect to Middle Tennessee, and from his standpoint, no disrespect to the Rice Owls, this weekend is a step up. And we'll know a whole lot more leaving the stadium Saturday night than we did leaving the stadium this past Saturday. You knew that Bama played well. You knew they had some things to work on. And as we all know, as coaches will tell you, you make more improvements from week one to week two than you do any other time of the year. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out on Saturday night.
Yeah, Eli, sticking with the Texas, this is arguably the biggest non-conference home game of the Saban era. What do you think are just a few keys for Alabama to pull out the victory?
Well, I think one of the big stories, and I don't know the answer to it, maybe you've heard something new, I've not, but obviously there are a couple of secondary guys who are, and some pretty good secondary guys, who are injured. And I don't know if they're, you know, what their status is for Saturday night at all yet. So, you know, that's one of the big stories. You know, viewers, they've got Texas has a good quarterback. They've got good runners and wide receivers. So much of their team is back from a year ago. So, whereas Alabama, again, went out and restocked the National Football League, Texas is... Mm-hmm. In large part, not totally, but in large part, the same as they were, with a couple of exceptions from last year. So it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough, tough ball game. And, you know, that's what you expect. That's what you want. And that's why we're all in the SEC, and in Texas's case, soon to be in the SEC.
I'm asking you to pull the crystal ball out, but you've done those games from Bryant-Denny Stadium and all over the continental United States, for that matter. But
yeah.
Do you, like most of us, anticipate an electricity perhaps we hadn't seen at Alabama before? Because they want back at Texas. Even though Alabama escaped Austin, in some ways they feel like Texas tattooed them, and I get the feeling the fans may be jacked up.
Well, you know, is it unprecedented? I don't know. I remember when number one, number two played, Alabama and LSU. And the buildup with game day and all of that in town. That was huge a number of years ago. You know, there have been some Iron Bowls that, you know, you wonder how in the world the stadium stayed afloat. You know, both stadiums, because the noise was so deafening. So, you know, I you may have to run a decibel meter to see if it's louder than ever before. I don't know. It's huge. That's why the players want to play at Alabama. That's why the fans are fans of the Crimson Tide, and so on. It's going to be massive. I mean, the numbers of interviews we've done, that I have done, and I know Craig Way, the voice of the Longhorns, he's done a bunch of interviews as well. You know, everybody is talking about this one. You know, it's rare that Game Day and SEC Nation are at the same game. ESPN doesn't like to do that. But obviously, for a game of this magnitude, they make the exception. You know, you got concerts. You got, you know, Taylor Hicks is going to be doing a concert. You got this, you got that. It's huge. Is it unprecedented? I don't know. But it's darn big. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, Eli, to me, your reference to the 2011 LSU game, this has the feel to that. And I know it's not one versus two like it was back then, but this is just a very simple logistical question. How do you get to the stadium? Do you have you must have a police escort, especially?
No, I never have, Lars.
Really?
No. Yeah, I get there so early that it's not a problem. Like I said before, we're on the air 3 hours before kick, and then I get there about 2 hours before that. So by 1 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday, I'll be at the stadium. So everybody is partying at that point. They're tailgating. They're doing their thing. Traffic is not that bad. I do have a reserved parking spot, as does Tom Stipe. I mean, our whole crew. We park near the stadium, so we do have that. The school is kind enough to provide us with great parking. But no, from a logistics standpoint, I'm going to meet family, and we're going to go out to grab some lunch at a local restaurant, and then head over to the stadium, and I'll go upstairs, and my wife and daughter and our soon-to-be son-in-law, they'll be going to wherever they go and taking in the sights and sounds of the Strip. So it really isn't that bad, Lars. I don't have an escort, never have. I shouldn't say that. One time in history, I got an escort from the stadium going elsewhere because I had to do a race that same night in Daytona Beach. It's when they had, a few years ago, you might remember, they had all those fires in Central Florida, and what was supposed to be the first ever night race in the history of Daytona International Speedway was delayed a few weeks because you couldn't see. I mean, the smoke in Central Florida was terrible, and when they rescheduled the game, I had a Bama game. When they rescheduled the race, rather, I had a Bama game. But it started at 11 o'clock in the morning. It was an early, early start. So I did the game, got off the air, ran downstairs, and I had somebody there who was arranged for to escort me to a private venue in Tuscaloosa, where a helicopter met me, flew me to the Birmingham airport, where a private aircraft had come to pick me up. And I flew to Daytona, and I walked into the booth 20 minutes before the green flag that night. So exclusive of that one time, I've never had escort whatsoever.
Eli, I love that. That's the broadcast equivalent of doing the double, right? The Indy 500 and the Coke 600.
Absolutely. You're Tony Stewart.
Exactly. Exactly.
Eli, our best to Claudette, Elise, and your soon-to-be son-in-law. We appreciate you joining us. I know it's been a very, very busy week, and all of the Big Noon Sports are really, really happy to have you back.
Well, you guys are so kind. You've both been good friends for many, 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 many years. I remember, Matt, when neither you nor I had a gray hair on our head, so it goes back a while. It goes back a while, but have yourselves a great weekend, and you enjoy the ball games, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Eli.
Thank you for your time, Eli.
Thank you.
Eli Gold, he's back in the booth, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Broadcasting gold.
Literally and figuratively there, Lord. Hey, when we get back, what else are we going to talk about? Texas and Alabama. Also want to give salutations, prayers, and thoughts about a past Tider. That's all coming up on Big Noon Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 89. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 64. And we stay dry tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 85 and 88 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
Hey, we've got, as we used to say in the disc jockey days, if you've got the dime, we've got the time. You can call us at 205-342-9904, and we will take calls all the way up to the top of the hour. Chris Walsh, we hadn't had him on from Bama Central Sports Illustrated, will be joining us at the top of the hour. And then in 1 hour, the all-knowing Reagan will be with us from Reagan from R&R Cigars right there on 6th in Tuscaloosa. And we will get his views on this weekend's game. Lars, it was interesting as yesterday AL.com did a story that I made reference to about the Jaylens from Texas. It was Waddle, Hurts, and Milrow, and one of the other 10 Texas players they selected to point out that had been born or raised in Texas and come to Tuscaloosa was Darwin Holt. And then yesterday I read that Darwin Holt had passed away at the age of 84. Lars, do you know how big Darwin Holt was? He played linebacker alongside one of the greatest ever, and it's Leroy Jordan. But do you know what his playing size and weight was?
No, I confess, I just don't know much about
it. Well,
I read it.
Well, he was actually even before my time, if you can believe that. But he was 5'10", 172 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Safeties are bigger than that now.
Kickers are bigger than that now.
But he was fierce. He was a B.A., and he knew the difference between go get 'em and sick 'em. And he and Leroy were and that was a tandem at linebacker for Alabama back in the early 60s. Listen to this. In 1961, one of his banner years, Alabama's defense held their opponents in 11 games to 25 points. 25 points. That's about 2.2 per game. And they had 6 shutouts. Nobody even gets shutouts anymore, do they?
No.
Even when it's a lopsided whitewash, so somebody managed to score in some way. But he was a great man, and obviously an overachiever on the football field. So I just wanted to make sure, and I know all Tide fans are mourning the loss, particularly those of my generation and older. But Darwin Holt, and by the way, that's a great name, Darwin.
Yeah, that's a good story. Another really good story, and to me, this might be it is the top story of the weekend, and that is Steve Sarkisian coming back to Alabama. And John Talty, our good friend, who's the former sports editor at AL.com, who now writes for 247sports.com, has just a fabulous piece up about Sark and his time at Alabama. And I didn't know this, but John reports that internally that Sark was talked about as Nick Saban's possible successor. And And the fact that Sarkisian, when he came to Alabama, his career was just absolutely shredded. And how he has rebounded, responded, and he's very, very grateful for the chance that Nick Saban took on him. And Sarkisian, Matt, and we're going to talk a lot more about this, but he is why you give people second chances, right? I mean, this is a redemptive, beautiful story, and it's hard not to root for him. And also, I don't necessarily think that it's not beyond the realm that Sark could be the next head coach at Alabama whenever that happens. But just really interesting stuff up on 24/7 Sports about Steve Sarkisian. And all week, it's like you almost want to root for him, right, Matt? Except for this week.
I know. You weren't going down.
It's a great story. It's just a great story.
It is a great story, and it also shows the compassion that some people think Nick Saban lacks that he really does possess. Hey, good stuff. I want to get into that a little bit more, but I want to talk about just the wackiness of the conference additions and subtractions. And this idea with the ACC blows my top off. I don't get it. Lars will have to explain it to me on the other side of the break as you listen to Big Noon Sports.
Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at laura.lee@thebamabroker.com. That's laura.lee@thebamabroker.com.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
It is indeed Big Noon Sports. Lars, Matt, Justin Jones, we haven't spoken to you because we just dove right out of the top of the hour at noon and into the Eli Gold interview. But how are you, my man, sitting there in that little control room there at Tide? Everything all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Little is definitely the word, but you know what? I've learned to make it home. I'm here so often. It's nice and comfy in here. I dress for the... like I'm going to take
cozy.
A nap or something.
It's cozy. Yeah,
exactly. Hey. As long as the AC works.
You know what?
I love control rooms. I don't care how big they are. They've fascinated me since I was 14. Sorry, Lars.
This has been such a benefit for me throughout my adult life. My first apartment in New York City was about 420 square feet. And I was just so grateful to have those 420 square feet. And now, which is about the size of the Tide studio and the control room there. I mean, imagine, like, that's where I lived for about 6 years. And so now it's like whenever, you know, any place I've had, it's just been like a gift from the heavens that is bigger than 420 square feet. But, yeah. So, Justin.
Hang on. We'll get to Justin in a second. That intrigues me. 420 square feet. Do you mind telling us how much you paid per month?
I actually got lucky. It was $1,100 a month.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. And then I got another place that was rent controlled, and it was a one bedroom. And it felt like a mansion, because it was about 560 square feet. And I got so lucky. It was on 102nd and West End Avenue. And West End Avenue is a beautiful street in Manhattan. And I got it for $760 a month. And it pained me to give that.
Were you next to Ross and Rachel?
no, but I was told that this was a really old building. And that I was told that Charlie Chaplin, like the original comic, right, that he lived in that apartment. And I was always sort of, you know, looking around, just hoping I would stumble upon something that he had written or whatever. But it was really hard to give that place up, because nobody, when you have a rent controlled apartment in New York, I mean, paying $760 a month, I think
you
that was
can't get any place in Birmingham or Tuscaloosa for that.
No. And I had to give it up because I decided to get hitched. And so Sarah didn't want to move into the bachelor pad, right? And I understood that. So when we moved over to 89th in Central Park West in a fifth floor walk up that was about maybe 600 square feet. And I mean, we're talking really small. I lived in small places for a good 15 years. And so, you know, it just, you just get conditioned to it. Never had a dishwasher. I still think you can get dishes cleaner than by cleaning them yourself.
No question.
And so,
I do mine. We do ours by hand too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. That's just how I was conditioned to live. And so it made things easier. So anyway, Justin, now that this is your office, right? Anything you have moving forward, you're just going to be like, oh, this is amazing.
It's funny. I remember first walking into the studio here, and I was like, wow. I think Joe Gaither, the former brand manager here, and Aiden Dollins, who used to be the producer for a lot of the shows. Yeah. They were both in here. I walked in. I was like, oh, it's a little cramped in here. I was, like, dressed up with my polo shirt on. But now you're right. I'm used to it. It's like a mansion. I can kick my feet around. I know the dimensions. Do some stretches.
Man, it's your space. You're in charge. You know, it's good.
You're the captain of the ship, man. It's no better place to be.
What was your first apartment, Matt?
Oh, wow.
Do you remember after you graduated from Alabama?
Well, I already had apartments when I was in Alabama, but the first one I moved to Birmingham, I actually moved in with a high school buddy of mine, and it wasn't a lot bigger than what you're describing. But my first place away from home was in Patey. Is Patey still around, Justin?
Oh, yeah. Men's dorm? Patey's still there. I know one of my first years in college, so 2019 maybe, they renovated it, and there's a Cane's in the bottom now. It's like a chicken finger place. So I was in Patey all the time for some chicken fingers.
Oh,
the other day,
an absolute mess when we were there. I mean, the stuff that went on from hall to hall and room to room would just blow your mind. I won't go into that, Lars.
Well, the other day, Matt, when you and I were in Tuscaloosa, we were trying to find your old house, right, in Tuscaloosa, sort of behind Bryant Denny Stadium over in that area. Was it torn down?
Yeah, it's sad to know that, as we appropriately called it, E, as in error. It was a garage that had been they threw some the multicolored shag carpeting. You remember that stuff? No padding. They just threw that on top of the concrete. And the walls were as thin as you could possibly imagine. And they tried to get two bedrooms out of one and one bathroom. It was a real you-know-what show. But you know what? When I went back to school, I didn't have a lot of money because my dad taught me a valuable lesson. He said, you blew my money the first time. Let's see how you feel when you blow your money. So it was what I could afford. And by the way, I think I've stated this before, but it's amazing how many classes you go to if you're paying for them. Personally, you're working 40 hours a week. One of the greatest lessons my wonderful father ever taught me. All right, let's go ahead and catch up on our breaks here, but I got to get into this thing. Lars, I'm sure you've seen it. We talked briefly about it last week, but this Cal Stanford in Dallas is driving me crazy. It's just, it's not fair. It's not fair at all, and I don't need to explain it to you, but we'll talk about it in just a moment on Big Noon Sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we'll continue with our Dreamland Score Prediction Day. We'll also feature Aaron Torres, Rodney Orr. We'll talk to Bruce Marshall. We'll talk to Brad Powers, all starting at 2 o'clock here on The Game on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 89. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 64. And we stay dry tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 85 and 88 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Indeed it is. This is Big Noon Sports. Lars, Matt, Justin Jones in that wonderful control room. Guys, we talked about this just a little bit last week, but the ACC is actually considering, now nothing has been written in ink, is actually considering using SMU in Dallas as a home base for Cal and Stanford. You know, it's driving me crazy that you've got teams in Los Angeles that are now going to be playing in the Midwest, much less now Stanford's going to be traveling to Raleigh. You know, the geographics make no difference anymore. But moving your home games 1,500 miles from where your students are, I can't believe they're even considering this, Lars.
I can't either. It is mind-blowing. And this was reported by John Wilner of the Mercury News, he's a really, really good reporter. So this is a rock solid information, the fact that the ACC is considering this. But to me, Matt, you know, what's the difference of 2 hours on an airplane?
I agree.
I mean, just this makes no sense. No sense. And I don't for a second believe this will happen. I don't believe that Stanford would go along with this because, you know, they've got a pretty decent home field advantage. When Stanford football is good, and I'm thinking of like Christian McCaffrey, Andrew Luck,
John Elway.
Yeah, I mean, they've had some good teams, really good teams. Toby Gerhart, Heisman Trophy finalist. And I frankly don't see this happening. The key word here is considering. This is nowhere near set in stone, and I absolutely do not believe it's going to happen. And so I get it, because you're taking away you know,
take away the college experience.
You are. And I ultimately, I think it would hurt, especially Stanford. I think it would hurt just the school as a whole, because, you know, there are smart kids who want to go to college football games. and so I don't see this happening. Do you?
I don't think it's fair. And I, if I were a head coach, I would be throwing it down on them. No way. This is going to hurt recruiting. What about that hotshot quarterback that lives an hour from Stanford? Now his parents are going to have to go to home games in Dallas.
Yeah.
This is just wrought with wrong. It's wrought with wrong. So, and I, you know, I thought for a little while I might be okay if maybe you did tennis or something there, but even that's not right. And even that would affect your recruiting, I would think. But boy, I'll tell you what, SMU and their concessionaires would love it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would be good for SMU. And there's another story, Ross Dellinger. He dug deep into how SMU was able to get into the ACC, and it is a mind-blowing piece by Ross Dellinger. Everybody should check that out. But Matt, I wanted to just shift gears for a second and just go back to Sarkisian and in the game on Saturday. You know, the famous statistic is that Nick Saban is 28-2 against his former assistants. And so this goes all the way back to 2007. And it was both of the losses came in 2021 when Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M upset Alabama in the regular season in College Station. And then in the College Football Playoff National Championship game, Kirby Smart in Georgia beat Alabama. And so Sark was asked about it, and his response was great. He responded with a question, which is always it's a good lawyerly thing to do. Huh. And he said, "What's the record for all the guys who aren't former assistants against against Nick Saban?"
Is that classic?
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know if he's got enough wit to have just come up with that immediately.
Oh well, you knew that he knew that he was going to be asked that question, and so you know he definitely put some thought into it. It's almost like, gosh, if you're a head coach making a ton of money, it's like you should have a writer, you know, have a writer for hire who can just come up with a couple lines for you to deliver at each press conference, because he certainly could afford it. But why is it you think that Nick Saban has been so successful against his former assistants, 28-2?
Because he has great football teams.
That's exactly what Sark was saying. That's exactly, exactly. What Sark was saying. You know, he's again, he went on to say that he wouldn't be the head coach if it wasn't for Nick Saban, and he said that, you know, he was just having a hard time getting an interview. And then suddenly Nick Saban throws him this lifeline, and you know, he's very upfront about saying that Nick Saban saved his professional career. And to think that he was considering going to work with Fox Sports, right? But it was Lane Kiffin who had worked with him at USC under Pete Carroll that connected him with Nick Saban. And then Saban eventually brought him in as an analyst. And then he worked his way up and became offensive coordinator. And so, that first year when he was an analyst, Sark basically just worked with Kiffin, who was the OC at the time, on just third down offensive strategy. And you know how much he made? $35,000. $35,000. But it was good for him because it gave him time to work on the, like, you know, exit the public stage, work on your personal life while still gaining an understanding of how Alabama operates, how Nick Saban operates, how the most successful program in the country and the most successful coach in college football work, right? And it's just a great story. It's just a great story, and I'm really happy for Steve. I've known him a long time. Did a story on him when he was at Washington, and he was one of the few head coaches. He gave me his cell phone number, and he said, "Lars, just call me whenever you want. Just call me whenever you want." You know, and he couldn't have been nicer, more welcoming, and more transparent. And I hate what happened to him at USC in this very public, kind of meltdown. But he has really just transformed his life. And when someone shows vulnerability in a public setting like that, I think it makes all of us sort of be able to relate to that person more, right? It almost humanizes that person. It makes us realize, he's this powerful football coach at USC and been at Washington, but he's like all of us. We all have our different struggles with different things, and the fact that he was able to come to Tuscaloosa and really address those, and now he's the head coach of Texas. What a great, a great redemptive story, and there's just so many life lessons imbued in this story.
He was a broken, broken man at USC. The stories about, or documented, him showing up at alumni functions and dinners just totally ripped. I think there were also reports that sometimes he came to practices with a snoot full, as they say in Mayberry. But he's not the only one that Saban reached out to. In many ways, he reached out to Kiffin. He reached out to Butch Jones, who I guess he's gone on. He's a head coach. Is he at Arkansas State now? Something like that?
Yeah, they got beat about 130-0 in their first game.
Nebraska, Colorado. I can ask you about that if we have time next hour. But right now, we're going to take our top of the hour break. And when we come back, Bama Central Sports Illustrated's editor-in-chief.
Founder.
That's Chris Walsh. He will join us, and we'll certainly ask about his reporter being admonished and then kind of apologized to by the one and only Nick Saban. What amazed me about that entire story is he called the guy by name. I didn't know he knew any of our names.
That has never happened before. Never.
I don't think so. Nope. Never. Never. I think it speaks well for both persons. Back in a minute.
A Town Square Media Station. WTUG HD2 Northport. W265 CG Tuscaloosa. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Gotcha.
In Austin, look, you didn't ask a bad question the other night. I just didn't answer it very well. And, when a guy plays well in a game at any position, it should help his confidence and it should help him perform better in the future. But I do think that every player, has to understand that just because I played well, I still want to try to improve the few things that I could have done better. And I think if a person keeps that mindset, then they're always improving, right? Because you're never satisfied, and you're always trying to do better. And you don't let complacency creep into your game. And that certainly hasn't happened with Jalen. So, hopefully the confidence that he gained in this game will certainly help him to continue to play you know, better and better in the future. That's what we hope for as coaches. That's what we try to encourage them to do. So, and that should have been my answer the other night.
It's really good stuff. And
as far as I'm concerned,
yeah. I mean, it wasn't exactly, hey, dude, I'm sorry.
This has made national news, by the way.
But I, as I said going to the break, and we'll bring Chris Walsh in, who is in charge of, Austin Hannon, the guy that Nick Saban was addressing, works with Bama Central Sports Illustrated with our next guest, Chris Walsh. Chris, man, it has been a while. Let's catch up just for a second and get back to that topic. But how are things going for you? And don't you have like the largest staff covering Alabama sports in the universe?
I guess we do. I never thought about it that way. First of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be here, and I'm good, and I appreciate it. And yeah, it was. It's so funny because after Saban said that, we kind of we had an interesting discussion via text. A bunch of people on the staff of. You know, do we post a story about this? I mean, because, and it was interesting because I almost sent Lars a message to kind of just ask him for his two cents at that point. But it was, you don't really want to be the news when you're a news outlet, and we definitely are. So, it was, like I said, it was kind of an interesting discussion, and I'm one of those people that when, you know, there's some doubt in your mind about what you do. You take the high road, journalistically. And so we didn't post the story about the comments. We treated it just like he had said anything else. I think we included it. We usually have a transcript of what Saban says on the site pretty quickly after his press conferences, and that's pretty much where we left it. But I'm curious to hear what you guys think about it, and how we should have handled it. But we just treated it like he said anything else.
Well, okay. Can you give us some context? Because I don't know of the what sort of transpired on Saturday between Coach Saban and your reporter Austin Hannon.
Yeah, sure. It's okay. Austin is. He's been with us for just this year. He graduated last December, and we had, let me think real quick, four reporters in the room, I believe. And he was working on a story about the quarterback situation. And his question to Saban was basically, what do you think or what do you expect moving forward? Generally, and that's, he did the comment about, you know, grabbed the Coke bottle and he said, you know, this isn't a crystal ball, and like, okay. And so it was yesterday during his press conference. He was still in his introductory remarks. He was not prompt at all. Saban mentioned Austin's name and said what you guys just played. And every reporter in the room just went, did that just happen? Because, you know, the whole time he's been at Alabama, he's never done that before. And I'm sure as soon as he heard, you know, his name, Austin was like, you know, what's coming, you know? So it was different.
Yeah. Well, shrapnel. Something's about to blow up here. But my response is, first of all, I really, really appreciate, admire, and respect your position here. We're in this business to report the news, not be it. And you took the very, very high road, and I speak on behalf of a lot of people. Way to go, Chris Walsh. All right?
I would say like 90% of editors would not have done that. And, yeah, I admire you for that decision, Chris, because you know what our profession has become? It's look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm click, the story. Click, click. Yeah, I'm the story, not, you know, the person that I'm covering. And that's rare. So I give you big time credit Have you been surprised? Okay, two questions for you, Chris. One, are you surprised that this has become a national story? And two, you've been covering Nick Saban from the start here in Tuscaloosa. What does this say about Nick Saban? The fact that he essentially apologized to your reporter.
Okay, well, first off, thank you. Second, there's one other thing I got to throw into the mixer, because and here's the real reason why I was kind of like mulling over maybe we should post something about this, is we're affiliated with Sports Illustrated. And Sports Illustrated has what it calls a breaking news desk. And a lot of times, like 95% of the time, Saban says anything, their breaking news desk will post it. Something just like that. And so the only reason why I was thinking, geez, maybe we should post something, is because the people that were affiliated were going to do it anyways. So the big shock for me was when they did it. Even though we're affiliated with Sports Illustrated, they change their policies. They don't tell us what's going on, kind of thing. So I think they've done a little bit of a change recently where they kind of realize every single time they do that, they're basically taking all of our hits. It's trying to juggle that and trying to figure out, like, what's the best option. The way I wanted to do it, my immediate reaction was, don't do a story. But it was like, well, if our parent company, not our parent company, I can't call them that because I own Bama Central. We are locally owned. That's where the debate really kind of came down to. So let me just clarify that really point. I know there was a question. Oh, right. Am I surprised that it went national? No. I'm just going to say the way that I tell our staff to do it. And this is kind of, I apologize beforehand, but I tell our guys and gals, if Nick Saban farts, it's news, you know, in the national scheme. So
yeah.
Anything that Nick Saban says that could be, that's news. Anything about Alabama quarterbacks, that's news. Get it on the site as fast as you can. So, no, not surprised at all. I'm surprised. I haven't really, my phone has been ringing off the hook today, to be honest.
Well, if I could just
a second.
Okay, go ahead, Matt.
Mick Gillespie has a great quote. You remember he said last week, Lars? He said, what's good for Nick is good for Mick. I mean,
yeah.
let's face it, guys. We kind of all make a living off Nick Saban. So, Lars, go ahead with your next question.
I was just going to say, here's a like on-air live story idea back and forth with an editor. I'd love to see a first-person piece by Austin midweek next week of how this has impacted his life as a 23-year-old reporter. Because this is unprecedented. It hasn't happened. And the fact that it literally been reported, blasted out all around the world, and how this has impacted Austin sort of on a personal level would be interesting to me.
Yeah, it's we're going to talk about it, I'm sure. And the one thing I kind of told him was, if you start getting phone calls about, hey, can you come on our radio show? It's like, do me a favor, just, if you're going to talk about it on the site first,
Yeah.
But, and that way it's we got to do that. But, we're dedicated to covering the Crimson Tide as best as we can, and in really as many different ways as we can. The fact that you kind of alluded to that we have more people than everyone else at this point, which we do actually, we're figuring out ways that we can really use that to our advantage. So, I mean, granted, we have podcasts, we have, we've got a show on our site now. We've got, different ways that we can do it. So I wouldn't be surprised if Austin does do something. I am not aware of him doing something yet, but I mean, it's literally, I was sitting there last night. It's like Lars is going to be talking about this class. He should be talking about this in his class. And
yeah.
And I bet that's going to be a really interesting discussion.
You did mention, like, you know, you don't want to necessarily be the news. However, you guys didn't start this. Coach Saban did, right? And in a way that I think reflects very well on Coach Saban. But so you are in the news unintentionally. So I think it's sort of a little bit different. And, you know, a thoughtful essay would be interesting to me. But Matt, go ahead. I'll let you go next.
No, I think it's a cool story all the way around. And I must also add, I'm a little bit surprised at the first person ever addressed by name in a news conference has been in the business 6 months. I'm wondering if you're Jeff Spiegel or you're Kevin Skarbinski and you're thinking, hey, well, remember that time you ripped me? What's going on here? But that's, by the way, Lars, was Austin one of your sports writing students? I just said Ryan.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Am I wrong on that? I don't know.
I don't think he was, but I'll tell you what.
I had him.
Do you have Will Miller right now?
Oh, you're asking me these questions.
Well, it's early in the season.
It's early in the semester.
I'm going to give you a break on that.
No, I'll tell you what. I know one of our guys has got a class right now. I just couldn't remember which one it is. But I tell you what, we've got a story right now that a student from Alabama wrote for us about an Alabama soccer player. We've had it as our centerpiece all morning, and I'm telling you, it's really good. And I was like, I read it last night. I was like ready to do a cartwheel because this is the kind of stuff. It's, you know, long form writing isn't big anymore in sports journalism, and a lot of it just, I honestly think a lot of it just has to do with the fact that just nobody has the personnel to pull it off anymore. You know, and granted, I mean, I understand, you know, there's shorter attention span and so forth, but we're kind of going in the opposite direction, and we want to have a long form story on the site, if not every day, close to it. And this is a really good example of some of the stuff that we're doing.
Hey, can you hang around? We need to talk some Alabama football. Can you hang on?
Yeah, I heard music.
Yeah, good for you. You're taking your cues. You're not just a writer. You're a sportscaster. All right, let's take a break. Did you say ick?
Yeah.
That's great.
I get called a lot of things. Come on.
oh, gosh, it's not as prominent as it used to be, but there used to be a kind of an adversarial relationship between, like, the TV radio guys and writers.
Not anymore. But, yeah, you're right.
You guys have started becoming broadcasters. Taking our jobs, you knucklehead.
Nah, we always thought we were smarter than you pretty boys.
Yeah, you really, really did. And I remember Ray Bellick used to call us hairsprays. And then I promptly responded and I said, you ink-stained wretch. Back with more Big Noon Sports with Bama Central's Chris Wall.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today 89. Clear and very pleasant tonight. The low 64. And we stay dry tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 85 and 88 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Chris Walsh from Bama Central is our guest on Big Noon Sports. Chris, let's talk some football. And, you know, we discussed it and cussed it for, what, 8 months? Who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be the quarterback? Well, we found out, and I think rather emphatically, do you certainly, if he suddenly starts making huge mistakes, they could go to either one of the Tylers. But I think, literally, when he picked up the ground ball to short and ran it 21 yards into the end zone, that Milroe became Alabama's starting quarterback.
Come on, that's the way they designed that play. I mean, obviously. yeah, it, you know, watching the game, it's, you know, like something that really stood out to me was like his footwork's a lot better. And he's got more poise. He's more confident. It's obvious. And the thing that was, I don't want to call it frustrating, you know, but throughout this whole process, you know, we kept getting, every journalist in the state who covers Alabama was getting asked nonstop, what's going on with the quarterback? What's going on with the quarterback? What's going on with the quarterback? And we barely got to see anything. We got to see A-Day like everybody else. We didn't get to see any practices. We didn't get to see scrimmages. And the only answer we could really give was, you know, it's got to play out. It's Milroe's job, you know, to win or lose for the most part, unless somebody just, you know, blows the doors off kind of thing. And we had to kind of sit there and you know, work our sources, obviously, behind the scene. But, you know, we had to let it play out as well. And, yeah, I have not had anybody ask me in the last few days what's going on at quarterback for the first time, you know, in 9 months, which is kind of nice, you know, to be honest. But, you know, I'm sure the players were sick of it as well. Like, this guy, you know, the thing was that last year when he played, you know, people are like, well, we can't really have that as a starting quarterback. And the thing was, he wasn't the starting quarterback. He was first year learning this, you know, or second year learning the system, you know, still developing. It's a total different thing that he was trying to develop into. And the question was, how well would he do it? So far it looks good. Yeah, if things go wrong against Tennessee, someone else is going to get a shot. But, I think they got their guy, you know, as far as I can tell. But it's the thing that I really hate now is a week from now, I'm going to start getting asked, okay, who's leading? You know, it's like, come on. But I know it's coming.
What does Alabama have to do to win this game on Saturday night?
Score more points. Sorry.
I knew you were going to do that.
Why is that still funny? I mean, we've all used it a million times, and I'm laughing. Anyway.
I you know what? If they get the running game going, I think it's game over. I really do. I like the defense. I mean, I think Texas is a good team. Texas is a real good team. So this is, for me, this is the game that I really circled on the schedule this year and was like, this is where we're going to find out just how good Alabama is. I think they could play well and still lose this game, though, because that's how good the Longhorns are. And I have a ton of respect for the other coach, Steve Sarkisian. So, but yeah, I think if they get the running game going, and I keep going back to that offensive line. When you got three guys, 350 pounds plus, nobody's got that. You can't practice against that.
Has anybody had that in college football history?
I don't think so.
They don't have that in the NFL.
No, I think it's the biggest line in the history of the game. I really do.
And I mean, like, Booker plays with a mean streak. You know, Proctor's just getting going. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be, if they can start pounding it. There was some play last week. I was just like, okay, simple play. You know, they're going to run the ball here. And I saw two linebackers and a defensive lineman moving backwards, you know, on one side of the line. I was just like, well, that's not fair, you know. But that's exactly what they have. And these guys are only going to get better. And especially as they work together more. I just think Alabama's really got something unique, and I don't know how these teams are going to counter it, especially once they really get going.
When you can run quarterback sneaks third and two, I mean, what does that tell you? But anyway, my concern with Texas is Quinn Ewers. He had Alabama on the ropes last year. He looked very good in the debut, although it was Rice. So, and the fact that, and here's, I guess I'll get to a question here in a minute, Chris. What do you hear about Bama's banged up secondary?
The guys are practicing. So, and yeah. The thing was, like, even when they got pulled from the game the other night, you kind of looked at them and you went, that guy's going to be back next week, probably both of them. So I fully expect Alabama to be at full strength. The thing that I'm going to be looking for are the blitz packages. I don't want to see what Kevin Steele's been, you know, dialing up for this one. And we're going to see some different things. They're going to, especially after what happened last year, they're going to go after this guy. I have absolutely no doubt. And I'm with you. The only way Texas wins this game is the quarterback, and he's really good.
And what do you think just about last week? How vanilla was Alabama, both on offense and defense? And are you expecting almost to see a different team on Saturday night?
I think we're going to see a lot more defensively. Something that I really loved, you know, even early on, they were mixing guys in and out. They were getting guys involved. And the depth on this team is ridiculously good, and it's a huge strength. It's a huge strength. I mean, I can't really overstate that. And offensively, they were kind of doing the same thing, too. So I think offensively it's going to be not that different, because I mean you've got a quarterback who's just getting going kind of thing. You don't want to overcomplicate things. So yeah, I'm sure there's some packages that are going to be a little bit different, but I think offensively it's going to be just get them on their heels. That's the aim. And when you've got a quarterback like that and you've got a running game like you do, anything you get out of the passing game is just going to be a nightmare for the Longhorns. So I'm focusing a lot more on how the Alabama defense is going to hold up, and I think Kevin Steele is going to go after this guy, like I said.
Well, if they're going to get Alabama, it'll be through the air, and I think this game has a pendulum in its name, Quinn Ewers. I think if he's successful, then Texas certainly has a really good chance to win this football game. As we wrap it up, I'm asking everybody about this because Lars and I anticipate an electricity factor of 10. And a lot of people go back to the number one versus number two Alabama-LSU game. Was it 2011? Am I getting that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you anticipate that as well, Chris?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because it's almost like there's two kinds of home games, you know, for Alabama. And I always hear this, you know, I get these people that are like, oh, it's always crazy there. It's like, no, actually, it really isn't, you know. but on certain days, yeah, it is. And I think this has the potential to be one of those days. It's a shame that over the years, especially when they were doing the Nutrisite games, it's just, you know, there weren't that many really big games at Bryan Denny. You know, it's like they go play Michigan in Texas, or they play USC or whatever. And one of the aims of them doing the home and home is that they would have, you know, more big games, obviously. And this is exactly the kind of thing that this is the reason why, you know, they started doing these. And so I got to give some credit to Greg Byrne for doing that, and Nick Saban, because a lot of teams wouldn't want to have Texas come play in your house. But, you know, last year's game was terrific, wonderful atmosphere, and I think it was good for college football. And, I mean, the way college football is going right now, we have no idea what college football is going to look like, you know, even a year from now. So it's going to be fun. And I think they're gonna. I think I'm gonna play well. This is the game that they've been really looking forward to.
Chris, one final question. Last year, the Texas athletic officials decided to put Alabama fans in the nosebleed seats. They were going to put the band up there, and Alabama decided not to bring their band. And I'm telling you, this is the pettiness of Texas. As someone who cares about Nebraska football, the reason, I'm telling you, the number one reason why Nebraska left the Big 12 was because of Texas. And just, you know, the crap, like, they just pulled last year. Are you surprised that Greg Byrne, like, kind of is doing the same thing to Texas fans?
I thought Nebraska left so they could go lose to Minnesota.
Oh, stop. Oh, stop it. Stop it. You've been waiting this entire half hour to bring that up.
Okay. Well, you raised his iron. Hey, I want you to come on every day and give me a Husker's jab. Oh, that's great.
I'm sorry, Lars.
It's a good question, though. Did Burns' reaction surprise you?
Did it surprise me? No. You know, it's. I don't know. It is what it is. It's. They aren't going to be able to do this once again in the SEC next year. So it's. I think I kind of just more or less, I kind of look at it myself like, would I have done that? I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, him doing it though, you know, just because, I mean, I'm sorry.
I don't either. What they did last year was just utter nonsense.
Yeah. And, you know, it's from someone who runs the site and had people there, you know, trying to get as many people as they could into the press box. And Texas calling us and saying, we're sorry, we have a small press box. We can only allow this many people. It's like, excuse me? I had to like beg, I think, just to get our third person in. And we try to have five people at games. Five people in general. If it's a big game on the road, yeah, we'll send five people. And that's more than anyone else. And we always get this, well, that's, you know, nobody else wants that. It's like, yeah, no one else is asking for that.
Has any other school given you a hard time the way Texas did?
I'm trying to think if anybody did, and I can't think of anyone. I mean, it's an ongoing struggle. It's an ongoing thing where I get this, you're asking more than the local newspaper. And it's like, well, look, I love the local newspaper, but they don't even have their entire sports department is three people, you know? And I really, really wish them well. And I don't want them to go away because, you know, the industry is changing and so forth. But we cover Alabama more than anybody else. We do more road games than anybody else. We cover more sports than anyone else. Please give us the darn credential, you know? And I can't really say that, but that's kind of the gist of it. And I mean, like right now, I just made arrangements yesterday. We're going to send someone to Phoenix, Arizona to cover the basketball game again, basketball game out there in December. And I would be shocked if anybody else goes out there. But that's the kind of level that we're at and what we're trying to do. And we're going to up our basketball coverage this year, by the way, just to kind of throw that out there. You know, this is a really good program. It's a really good team. We think, you know, the more that they win, the more the fans want to know. So there's a very decent chance we're going to send someone to the game in Canada, too, which actually it might be me because I love Canada. And even if it's December, it's gorgeous. And even though last year I was in Vancouver, somebody broke into our room and relieved us of some of our possessions. I still love Canada.
Canada?
So. Wow.
Canadians get robbed in America than vice versa.
I think it was a moose, though. You know, it's just
a moose. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Oh,
on your way to Canada, you can take a pit stop in Minnesota and high five all your buddies on the Golden Gophers.
Give it to the Gophers.
The winning Gophers. Yeah. That's okay. They're gonna. You know, from afar, that's gonna be fun for me to just kind of watch and see, like, hey, they're playing USC this week. That's just gonna be weird. I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Hey, what a great segment. Thank you. Safe travels. Cover the game well. I don't even need to say that. I know you will. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
My
buddy.
Pleasure. Great talking to you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All righty then. Hey, let's get some predictions.
Hey,
R&R's coming up. You got
Matt. I've done the math. Guess who was 4-0 last week against the spread?
I was.
Yours truly.
No, I was too.
You were 3-1. You took an L.
What did I lose?
Well, you know what? Actually, I didn't write down who you picked. There was one game. I just decided to give you the L. Auburn, UMass. Who did you take?
Auburn.
Oh, you got the L. All right. You were 4-0 as well.
I think Reagan was 2-2. You did. I think I took everything you did.
Okay.
And that wasn't by design.
You were 4-0. I was 4-0. Reagan was 2-2.
Hey, we got NFL tonight, don't we?
We do.
Is that tonight? All right. He'll pick that game and three others on the other side of the break. We'll be back with R&R Cigars, Reagan.
Built to win.
Touchdown, Alabama!
Built for championships.
Throws intercepted, Alabama.
Built by Bama.
Alabama is still Alabama.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the Texas Longhorns to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 3 on your home for Alabama football.
Tide 100.9. Presented by Birmingham Racecourse and Casino. I-459, exit 31. You can be a winner, too.
Looking for... Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Hey, this is Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa, located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at laura.lee@thebamabroker.com. That's laura.lee@thebamabroker.com.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
Back on Big Noon Sports, Justin Jones, our executive producer. I think Noah's hanging around today, too. But you got Lars, you got Matt, and now we've got Reagan. Reagan, from what Lars kept up with, last week you were 2-2, while Big Noon Sports was both 4-0. So I just wanted to get your initial reaction to that, or do we just move on to the picks?
I mean... That can't be right, because everybody took Minnesota.
No, I took we all took Nebraska as a.
So how were y'all 4-0 then?
Because Nebraska covered. Nebraska covered.
Auburn, Alabama, and Nebraska covered. Hey, you know what? That's a week ago. We'll figure out that later. We need to get to our picks. NFL starts tonight, Reagan. And I imagine that you'll have a few people.
I think we have this one wrong.
Well, we'll go back and listen to the tape upon further review.
I'm protesting.
Okay. And we will. It's duly noted. let's talk about the and you may be, because I didn't write it down, and I don't think Lars got it all down, but we can always go back and actually put it under further. So that last week's picks are under further review. We'll let Steve Shaw sort it out. Lions at the Chiefs, Kansas City at home, 4.5-point favorites. What do you think, Reagan?
This is actually supposed to be one of the better NFL games this year, which if you told me that like a few years ago, I would have said the Lions. Are you kidding me? It's wild to think that the Lions and Chiefs is supposed to be a good game. But I, who am I to bet against Patrick Mahomes? I mean, honestly.
Really?
Right? I mean, I like Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
My reasoning is the exact same. Ditto. Chiefs.
I'm going Lions because I don't think Kelce is going to play. And I know the Lions are a sexy pick to win their division and, you know, win one playoff game, maybe two. I think Goff is in a really good place. And so I'm going Detroit tonight.
Interesting selection. The NFL world and also, absolutely by the way, with Dan Campbell.
And no Chris Jones for the Chiefs. He is by far and away their most important defensive player. He's holding out. And so you could argue that two of the three most important players for the Chiefs in Kelce and Jones are not going to be playing tonight.
Reagan, Nebraska goes to Colorado, and the Buffs are a 3-point favorite. Your call.
The Buffaloes are a 3-point. Yeah, I'm gonna take Colorado. I hate it. I'm not buying into what Deion's saying. I think they're gonna get humbled, and it's gonna be awesome to watch. But Nebraska's not the team to do that. I'm going to go sadly with Colorado.
I'm obviously taking Nebraska, and I don't even think it's going to be close. It's going to be a thump, thump, thump. Nebraska wins easily by two touchdowns.
Hey, Reagan, didn't we hear this a week ago? Hey. Oh, there's another shot at Nebraska.
Nebraska covered. I said, I'm betting my girlfriend. I'm betting my my kids, my house. Yeah, Nebraska covered. They were getting 7 points, and they lost by three.
It's going to be a
bad
day.
I'm taking the Huskers.
We're
going to
have
the Huskers too.
We're going to have to get Lars some help on next week's show if he loses his house, his girlfriend, and his kids betting on Nebraska again.
You know, hey, Reagan, you know, the one thing they didn't bet is Charlotte, his dog. So,
that's right.
Don't we see where his priorities are?
Yeah. Okay. As long as I got my dog, we're good.
Hey, yeah. It's like the jerk, right? Once I lose everything, I still got my dog. Yeah. She's the only person who really, the only creature that truly loves me. All right.
Dog had a name not suitable for Big Noon Sports.
Yes.
Auburn takes on.
Wait. Who are you taking, Matt? Nebraska,
I'm
Colorado.
I'm taking Nebraska. They turned the ball over. They beat themselves last week.
Yeah,
they turned the ball over four times. Anyway. All right, Reagan, Auburn, California. The Tigers are a 6.5-point road favorite.
California. Why don't we let the degenerate over here betting his girlfriend and his kids in his house? Why don't we let him lead this one off?
I'm taking
a you-know-what whipping today from our guest.
I'm taking Auburn. I think that just pure talent is going to prevail, and I like what I saw out of the two quarterbacks for Auburn. Especially Ashford. He's such a weapon in the red zone. And I think Auburn wins this one handily.
Hey, I'm right in line with him. What do you think, Reagan?
Well, this show won't be much fun if everybody is, on the same page. So the game in California, and, I don't think Tommy Tupperville likes that very much. So,
wow.
I am going to take the the Golden Bears. I got a new employee. He's from California. You know, it just seems like an omen that Auburn loses on the road on the West Coast.
So you're saying that California fans will be doing poetry after the game?
I don't
know. Sorry, that's a joke. Tommy Tupperville just said that.
Aren't they in San Francisco?
Yes.
Yeah, so they'll probably be doing a lot of other things that that probably aren't appropriate for the radio.
All right.
So, you can check it out on the poop map of San Francisco.
All right, here we go. Number 3 Alabama is hosting number 11 Texas. The Tide is a 7-point favorite. Reagan, break it down. Give us a pick.
I was really confident going into this game, and then Nick Saban apologized to a reporter last night, and it absolutely destroyed all confidence that I had. I don't know Alabama's record when Nick Saban apologizes for anything. That would be a good stat that I should probably find out for this weekend show.
It's probably 0-0.
Yeah. So it scared me a little bit. But I really think Alabama wins this weekend. I don't think it's close. I think Alabama's real. I think this defense is real. I think that a lot of the changes that were made in the offseason are real. And that was the most vanilla playbook that you could have had on Saturday. I might have gone 2-2 in the picks. I said 55-7. It was 56-7. So I was off by a point. I really do think that this offense is going to score points. I think this defense is going to give up less points. I'm not really intimidated by Texas. I think Sark's a great offensive coordinator. I don't think that the head coach is what he's made for. I really do think Bama wins, and it's not close.
Yeah, I hate to fall in line here, but I would mimic everything you just said, parrot everything you just said. I think Alabama wins pretty handily by at least two touchdowns. That's where I'm going, Matt.
I'm Alabama. I think I'm going to actually put a score down here so they can put it on the Tide side. 35-24 Alabama.
Okay. That sounds
good. I think it's like 42-17.
42-17. Wow, you're talking about a butt whipping.
Yeah. I'm going to take a page out of Brian Kelly's playbook, and Alabama's going to beat the heck out of Texas. And then I guess you guys can see, look, this is what's cool about the radios now. Brian Kelly says we're going to beat the heck out of Florida State on the radio show. A week later, gets on the radio show and says, no, I never said that. And they're like, hey, we have the audio of you saying that. Doesn't matter. Like, gaslighting is now like you literally can gaslight about anything, even when they have the receipt.
And our guests have been funny today.
Yeah, it's really good. Hey, Reagan, what do you got going on Saturday at R&R?
Well, Friday, we have a cigar event tomorrow night with the people from Foundation Cigars, Upsetters, Tabernacle, Highclere Castle. We're doing that. R&R is not going to be serving any Cheetos this weekend. We will be serving the Yay Alabama vodka instead. That's the Alabama NIL vodka. And we'll have that instead of Tito's because we're not going to support Texas this weekend. And we will be supporting Alabama student athletes instead. So our tailgates at the mansion, no Tito's, only Alabama's vodka. Yay, Alabama. And we'll, I think we have the UFC fight Saturday night after the game too. So when the game's over, come over to R&R. Should be just in time to watch the UFC card, which is another good card this time. R&R, home of sports. And then Sunday, we have NFL Sunday Ticket. You can watch every NFL Sunday game at R&R all season long.
Hey, tell Randy and the gang we said hey.
I absolutely will. I hope you guys have a great weekend and roll tide.
We may see
you, Reagan. We're gonna be there, Reagan, tomorrow afternoon. Such a great place to hang out.
No kidding. Thanks, Reagan. When we get back, maybe we should talk a little bit. Oh, I know. I've been thinking about this all week. I've got a question for you, Lars. It's called a culture check. Very interesting. Coming up on Big Noon Sports.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Coming up on Friday, the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show at 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM. Fox Sports' Adam Amin, plus the Auburn Report from Brett Pritchard, and our T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, Bama Football Trivia Giveaway. We're going to give away another great prize and my SEC point spread prediction, so you'll want to join us.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
Hey, this is Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa. Located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
Weekday mornings at 6 a.m. The Martin Houston Show.
Join us tomorrow for a great edition of The Martin Houston Show, where we're going to be talking score predictions, player of the game, Bama wins if, all of that and more right here on your home for Alabama sports.
Catch The Martin Houston Show from 6 to 7 weekday mornings on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 89. Clear and very pleasant tonight, the low 64. And we stay dry tomorrow and Saturday. A good supply of sunshine both days. Highs between 85 and 88 degrees. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
Wow, what a great show. Quick question for you, Lars. When we were talking with Stan White earlier in the week, Tuesday, which was really a Monday because of Labor Day, I was thinking Auburn flies to California, actually leaving today, as I think he told us, or maybe Andy Burcham told us that, but... I don't know that if you can get more extreme on diverse cultures than Auburn to Berkeley. Do you think there's a chance that Auburn kind of pulled a team together and said, hey, it's going to be a little different here, even walking around the hotel. This is not the same as Auburn, Alabama. Or because I think they'd be wise to do it. Am I just getting too cross coast here?
I think it's possible, but it's not like you're going to walk out of the hotel door in San Francisco and see a guy lighting up a doobie. I mean, you know.
Or step in some pool.
You could certainly dissect the cultural differences between San Francisco and Auburn, Alabama. I don't know. I just think. I just think. I actually like it. I mean, I think it actually could. If I were a writer going out there and covering this, that would be absolutely something yeah. that I would focus on and dig into and you know, how important is football at Cal? That'd be the first question I'd want to ask, just like fans and some of the Cal players. And I just think we're going to realize that there is a big disparity in talent between a school that supposedly has been down in the SEC versus a school out in the West Coast.
Just think, potentially in a few years, this game could be played in Dallas. Lars, we are live tomorrow from Innisfail University with their lucky lunches, $9.99 for a meet and three. Also, who's joining us as we start the show?
Right at the top of the show at noon, Mayor Walt Maddox, my good friend. I was Walt's speechwriter in the when he ran for governor in 2018. He's going to join us and just talk about the logistical challenges facing the city of Tuscaloosa with this massive influx of humanity that is going to occur on Saturday and what the town is doing to prepare for all of that and much more. We'll have a lot of fun with Walt Maddox.
Yeah, and of course they've got their burgers and fries and salads and all those kind of in the meat and three. I'm gonna take that. Last week I got a burger; it was delicious. This week I think I've got to go southern vegetables. Have a great day, Lars. Thank you all for listening.
With Taco Costa.